Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
And tonight we're going to continue on the Miracles of Christ series. And this is, I say this all the time, but one of my favorite ones because Jesus is so much. And this is the miracle healing and deliverance of the demoniac of the Gadarenes or the Gerasenes. And by the way, there are two cities, Gadara and Gerasa. And both of these cities are twin cities. They're right close to each other, right west of the Sea of Galilee. And they are, so it's like if I live in Justice, Illinois, and someone asks me that's out of state, I might say I live in Chicago, right? So, but that's how this works. So we're gonna get right into this. But I'm going to tell you that one of my favorite parts of this is actually a sad part of it, and it is the ending of this miracle. Where, and I'm going to read it to you from, this is found in Luke 8, and I'm going to read at the end of it, starting right here, verse 35, then they went out to see what was done after the man was delivered and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were very afraid. Is there something wrong with that statement? Janice is sitting over there all clothed in her right mind. And guess what? We're all scared to death. There's something wrong with that statement, isn't there? Clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And also, which saw it, told them by what means that he was possessed by the devils, was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about, they sought him to depart from them. They begged him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Let me tell you something. Clothed in his right mind, do we get so accustomed to our problem, our situation? Why is it that they could do crazy, and they were used to crazy? Oh, there's a crazy man walking around in the tombs. Look at him. Look at him. He broke the chains again. Get some more chains. Clothed and in his right mind, and now they're afraid? You know what? They witnessed the power of God. And you know what? When they sent him away, they sent away their Savior, their Deliverer, their everything. I would have said, you know, we got some more crazy people that need some deliverance around here. But that is not what they did. You know, so I have found that. I thought that was just extremely funny to read that. But I want to begin by telling you that, about this miracle. It is found in three Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I always say this, so I'll say it one more time. Anytime something is found in multiple Gospels, you want to read every single Gospel, or you will miss something, and you will miss something that's important. And you need to take note of that, because these are three different writers. And do they contradict themselves? Absolutely not. In fact, they confirm one another. But I'm going to explain this. I want to talk about Luke in particular. I love how Luke records, listen to this, records more miracles of healing than any other gospel. I love it because Luke was a medical doctor. He was a physician who honored the great physician. I can picture Luke standing aside as he watches the work of the great physician. Wow. And here's the thing. You know, doctors, they see a few healings here and there. But Luke, as a physician, he saw healings that I guarantee you other doctors of that day never saw, such as the healing of the 10 lepers. Do you know Luke was with Paul on the island of Malta when the viper, the poisonous viper, that chief should have dropped dead immediately, and they watched. And here's Luke as a physician thinking, wow, couldn't have done that in my office. We don't got nothing for that. And here he is completely healed. So Luke recorded more miracles of healing. It's what he was interested in. As a physician, please keep in mind, again, that services we're canceling next week. Next Monday is canceled. Holiday. Let's keep this in our heads, too. I'll say this throughout the night. I was told to say it. But this miracle is found in these three Gospels. And I want to tell you something, that there are three accounts of an event. I read them all. One does not contradict the other, although one account or the other may provide additional and I consider greater information. In the account of Matthew, in this story of the demoniac, which we're going to study tonight, in particular, there are mentioned two demoniacs. Whoa, I thought we only had one man set free. That is correct. But Matthew mentions that Jesus, when he encountered them, there were two. There was one who was completely set free. And the focus of this miracle in these two accounts, these all of them, is on the one. So, but we're going to, I think that this is really cool for this reason. Matthew, there are only, you know how long Matthew's account of this whole story is? It's only seven verses. But yet Matthew's the one that gives us critical information that there were two at the first when Jesus encountered them, which we're going to talk about. So in talking about the Gospels and how it may seem at times, you know, people that try to find things error in the Word, they wind up with egg on their face because you cannot. But here's how it goes. When you get three or four people writing different accounts or testifying in a court, you're going to get a lot of information, aren't you? Not just a little bit. So here's the deal. If you tell me there are 10 apples on the table, that is the truth. That is a fact. If someone tells me there is an apple on the table, that is a truth. That is a fact. So these do not contradict each other. If Victor wrote a story and said there were 10 apples and Janice wrote and said there was an apple on the table, they are both the truth. Here's how you know it's a contradiction. If Victor says there are 10 on the table and Janice says, no, there were only two. Those are completely, there were only two. So that would contradict. So we need to know that the Word of God never contradicts itself. In fact, it confirms itself. And this should cause us to ask questions. The fact that there were two and only one got set free, I have a question. Why did only one get set free? Why? There's actually a reason. Even today, do you know that everyone is not delivered or healed? Now, let me explain this. This does not mean that healing, deliverance, and salvation are not available to us. But yet, some people do not receive their healing or their deliverance. I like to say that we receive because Jesus has freely provided for our healing and deliverance is available to us, but our part is to desire it, to be desperate for it, and to receive it. Our part is not, some people will not receive salvation. Could they be saved? Salvation is available to all of us. Healing is available to all of us. Deliverance is available to all of us, but we must be willing to receive it. And part of our receiving it is through faith in Jesus and obedience to his word. Obedience is the key to reward, blessing, and receiving from God. I'm going to say that again. Obedience is the key to receiving from the blessings of the Lord. The same is true for salvation. Everyone will not be saved. Why? Why doesn't God save everybody? Why doesn't he? Because he will not force you to love him. He will not force you to enter into a covenant relationship with him. How would you like to force someone to marry you? You have to marry me. You have to love me. You have to obey me. I said it yesterday. We are not robots and we are not puppets. We will love God because we choose to. And God chose to love us. He will never force us. But is his love available? Yes. Is salvation available? Yes. So I'm going to explain in a minute why the one demoniac was not set free, because it clearly is recorded in here why the one demoniac was not set free, or why a bunch of demoniacs were not set free at that time. First, and by the way, this was country, a Gentile country. Can I call it that? It's actually the Gerasenes and the state of Gadara was actually called, it was part of the Decapolis, which was 10 major cities, okay, right together. And they were right by the Sea of Galilee. Remember the pigs in the sea jumped in, ran down the hill and went into the into the sea and were drowned. Some translations say choked, but they were drowned. The translation, correct translation is they were drowned. They died. They're gone. And so I'm going to begin to tell you, I want to share a little bit about demons, not to frighten you, but to inform you, because we need to be informed. I want to begin by talking to you about the word possessed, because these two men were possessed. And because the word in the Bible uses the word possessed, and the word possessed means if I possess this pen, it means I own this pen. This is mine. This is my possession. So we're talking about ownership anytime you hear possession. And these demons literally owned these men. That's what it's like to be possessed. You're controlled by demons, and they have taken the authority that you have surrendered to them. But today, in our culture, when someone uses the word possess, they use it too loosely. Like, oh, that person's like having a meltdown, they're possessed. No, they're not possessed. They are not possessed. They may be influenced by exterior things or even by demons, but they are not possessed. And here's what I believe about that. I do not believe that a blood-bought Christian believer can be possessed by demons. I do not. Now, I believe that they can be influenced by demons, but they are not owned by the demons. The difference is, here's the thing. Your house, let's use the example of your house. You're the owner of the house, right? Now, if you open doors, like if you open a door and a burglar comes in, he can do all kinds of harm to that house, right? He can tear things up. He can steal things. The same thing with the devil. If you open doors, he can come into your life and he can tear things up in your life, and he can disturb you, he can destroy things, he can steal from you, your joy, your peace, you know, all kinds of things. So but you're still the owner of the house, right? So let me ask you this question. Who has the authority? If you own your home and a burglar tries to come in your home, who has the authority to say, get the hell out of here? Yeah. So devil, get the hell out of here. Get out of my house. You know, it's ever heard of self-deliverance? You know, telling the devil to just hit the road, get out of here, get out of my life. You're not going to steal from me anymore. You're not going to operate in my life. I'm closing all doors. I'm not doing drugs anymore. I'm not being disobedient to God anymore. But he never owns that house. You do. You have authority. But if you open doors and you don't cast him out and you don't take authority, he'll stay there a long time. And he'll do something else. He'll invite friends to come. Hey, I'm in here. Come on in. We're having a party at your house. So we need to understand the difference between being possessed and being influenced by demons. But this is a very sad story, because Jesus arrives in the country, steps out of land from a boat, and the demoniacs are here. And here is the reason I'm going to get into this. Let me read Mark 5, 1 to 3. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he had got out of the boat, immediately, it happened right away, a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even though he had chains of iron. You know, and Luke says, when they arrived in the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, as he stepped out onto land, a man of the city who had demons met him. Okay, now we're switching to a man of the city who had demons. We're focusing on one man. For a long time, he had worn no clothes. He was naked, and he did not live in a house, but he lived in the tombs. There are two men, but this story is about one of them. And here's the thing that's going to happen. That's going to be very, very interesting. I believe that we position ourselves to receive our miracle. When we get desperate, I also want to say that I believe many Christians do need deliverance from things from, like, let me give you some examples. Fear, anxiety, addictions, bad attitudes, emotional strongholds, bitterness, offense, unforgiveness, sin, all from the enemy need deliverance. But it's not always what you think. But this is a very, very sad situation. But here is the reason, and I am going to have to be brief tonight, but I'm going to say my piece. One of them, it is recorded in God's word in the book of Luke and also the book of Mark, fell at the feet of Jesus, the Bible says, and worshiped him. We do not read. We read that he encountered two, but only one came and fell at the feet of Jesus in desperation and worshiped him. Now, the question is this in your heart, you may be saying, if he was controlled by demons, if he was, in fact, possessed by demons, how did this happen? I thought the demons could prohibit that from happening, and that is absolutely not the truth. There, you will never, ever, ever get to the point, no matter how bad it is, that you do not have the freedom to choose Jesus. Anyone, you can crawl to him and worship him. You can be in a mental home and still have the ability to cry out to Jesus. The devil can't take away your free will, your freedom of choice. And one of them did this, thereby he positioned himself to receive his deliverance. What does that say to you and I today? What if there was something in our life that we're struggling with, that's a stronghold in our life that we just can't shake? Whether it's a little thing that just hangs on and you keep falling back into it, or it's a big thing that you keep going back into. How do you get set free? The feet of Jesus. Fall at the feet of Jesus and worship Jesus. Now, if this doesn't make a case for coming to God's house and worship, praise and worship, I don't know what is. And worship at home. Worship Jesus. We don't see that with the other man. We don't see other people in this case delivered in this way, like this. Now, I want to say something about the deliverance. Jesus spoke to the demons, spoke to them. And when he asked him, he said, "What is your name?" How many of you know that Jesus wasn't like, "I'm so confused. What's your name?" Let me tell you something. Jesus, if he asks a question, he's not asking for any information. If he says, "Hey, Cain, where's your brother?" He ain't asking for no information. He's holding you accountable, is what he's doing. He's like, "Hey, Vic, where were you last Sunday? This is God." "You don't know God?" Yeah, he already knows. He's holding you accountable. He's waiting for your response. You tell me, and believe me, in the presence of Jesus, you will cough it up. He said immediately, "We are legion, for there are many of us." And by the way, some people say legion is 10,000, is 2,000. It's 6,000 to 10,000, a legion. So picture the demons. Picture how controlled this man was, yet he still had the ability to fall at the feet of Jesus and worship Jesus. And here's the thing. When we think of deliverance, y'all seen too many movies. Can I say that? You've seen too much of The Exorcist, okay? We get free by worshiping Jesus, by studying the word of Jesus, by deciding to be obedient to God. That's the primary way. Unless you're some heathen that you've never heard of God and you're not blood-bought and don't know the deliverance. Let me tell you something. People, when they picture deliverance, they picture a team of people with people weeping and wailing and writhing on the floor like snakes and crazy junk. And I have actually seen ministers try to cast out demons, and I was more afraid of the casting out, to be honest, than the person that was getting the casting out. I really was. When I have actually seen live video of people casting out demons, and I thought, man, that just sends chills down my spine. If I had demons, I'm not sure I'd want those people casting them out. That's scary stuff. You know what? What about Jesus came to set the captives free? Do you think he had to yell and holler and scream at the demons? Do you think he had to scream at the demons? Get out of here. No way. No way at all. He took authority. He took authority. It's like a policeman with a truck. A semi truck comes down the road, and he sees this little guy. And this little guy has a badge on that says, "I have authority. I'm the policeman." And that little policeman holds up his hand and says, "Stop." You think he has to yell at the truck and go, I said stop. I mean what I'm saying. And not at all. Not at all. When you have the authority, Joyce Meyer said, you have the authority. The problem is we don't use the authority, and we need to start in our own lives. You know, get the hell out of my life, or I probably can't help get the hell out of your life, right? It's like getting the beam out of our, the speck out of someone else's eye. You know, listen, if you got a beam in your own eye, that's, you know, come on now. So we need to work on ourselves. But I've seen some crazy stuff, but I believe that Jesus came to set the captives free. But in this situation, we see a very desperate, this has went on for years, and this man had not worn clothes for a long time. He was naked. Do you know that I studied, when I taught this one time before, I studied mental institutions with seriously schizophrenic people and people that were supposedly possessed by demons, possibly they were. And one of the things that they do continually is they have trouble keeping their clothes on because the devil brings with him shame. Shame. He wants you to bring shame. Realizing, and this goes back to the garden, and I'm not going to get into this. You know, they recognized that they were naked, that there was shame with this. Sin brings shame. And he didn't live a house anymore. He lived in the tombs. There was death all around him. And interestingly, he was bound with chains. They would bind him, and they would bind him with shackles of iron. Notice iron. Do you know that iron is the strongest metal? It is the strongest metal that you can have is iron. And they had chains of iron around this man. And guess what he did? Pop, just like that. He could break those chains, but he could not break the chains around his heart and around his mind. He needed to be free. He could not. He would cut himself. I realized many, many years ago, and some of you have heard my cutting testimony, and I'm not going to go into it. I don't feel comfortable sharing it tonight, but most of you know that I have a cutting testimony myself. And it was demonic. It is a demonic practice. It is something that just happened in my life. And I thank God for freedom, for complete freedom from it. But when I say it takes a lot to get free from being a cutter, I mean what I'm saying. I mean it 100%. It starts small. You think you're just cutting yourself. And all of a sudden, you feel a comfort from cutting yourself, whether it be razor blades, whatever it is, from cutting yourself. After a while, I promise you, it's an addiction, and you're hiding it. You're hiding it. You're wearing long sleeves. You're doing things. You're wearing long pants because you don't want nobody to see you. But that is demonic. It's part of demons influencing you, and you have to be set free from that. But he would often, the Bible says, cut himself. And I've had so many opportunities that to minister to young ladies because of the testimony that were cutters. There was two girls in our church that were actually cutters, and I had the honor of talking to them and ministering to them because, you know, well, it just is. If you've been healed of cancer, then you're the one to talk to somebody. If you've went through something, then you're the one to speak into that person's life and help them. If God has set you free, then you owe it to other people. You know, for many, many years, I did not testify. I did not share certain things in my life because I just didn't. I just felt still the shame. And then I thought, the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And if God has set you free and you won't tell other people, you run the risk of getting back into that, to be real honest. There's some accountability, and it strengthens you to be able to say, look what God has done for me and in my life. But this story has all the makings of a Hollywood movie. Chains, freaked out local citizens, fear of people, fear of leaders, pigs charging over cliffs, all kinds of stuff. But I want to tell you, this story is not about what Jesus did at all. Shocker, right? This ain't about what Jesus did. This is about who Jesus is. It's about who he is. It's not that he can, it's not what he does. Seek me, not what I can do for you. He is the deliverer. Not he just delivers, he is the deliverer. I am so grateful that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he sets the captives free. And you might think, well, today, possibly we don't have many what you would call possessed people. But I'm going to say something that I feel is shocking. I think we have more today than you would think. You know, going back some years, I wouldn't say that. But let me ask you, how many school shootings do we have where a madman comes in and just takes out, or a church, or all kinds of situations? Tell me that person wasn't possessed. They were. They were controlled by demons, doing things that they would not do if they were not controlled by demons. And so we need to understand that we have a responsibility to preach the gospel, and part of the gospel is to preach the gospel of deliverance, that Jesus can set you free. So many people, I minister almost daily to people who battle anxiety and fear and panic almost daily. I kid you not. We were in Kentucky, and I remember Dan saying, "Who were you on the phone with in the middle of the night?" It was someone having severe panic attacks, that could not sleep, that was tormented. And all of that is demonic. Now, thank goodness that she is blood-bought, and that she is fighting that, and we can be free. But we need to know that we can be free from that, that we don't have to deal with that all of our lives. One of the things that I dealt with in my life was fear. I used to be so afraid to stay alone. I mean, I just could not stay alone at all in a house. Now, I literally stay alone sometimes, or well, I have mom now, but sleep with the garage door open because I forgot to close the door. Believe me, 15, 20 years ago, I did not forget to close the door at all. It was bolted in a dresser by it. But that's fear, such fear. But we can be free from that. We have to fight that and get set free from all of that. But so many people are even afraid to talk about demons, but I want to tell you that they are not a threat to you and I. They are not a threat to you and I. You know what? They should be more afraid. I always say it like this. May you be celebrated in heaven, your name be known on earth, and feared by all of hell. I hope that your name is on hell's most 10 most wanted list down there, that they have your picture on there, that they fear you, because that's the reality of it. Those demons feared Jesus. Oh, you know, can you just let us go into the swines? And I'm sure that back in the day, people ran from this guy, but Jesus always has the final word. And I am so thankful that this man ran to Jesus and not from Jesus, that he ran right to him. That shows his will, that shows his desire to be free. And I'm so thankful that, think about it, the iron shackles that he could break. He could break the iron shackles. You know, we may can do a lot of things in life, break through a lot of things, but there are things that only Jesus can help us with, and we have to worship him. I believe the key is worship. I believe the key is getting in the word of God. Speaking the word of God over your life is powerful. Putting your name in those scriptures. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I am free. And I love to say it. I am blood bought. I am word taught. We're taught of the Lord, and we need to minister to other people. And I just wanted to leave you with that tonight. There's so much more. We are going to have to leave here in a few minutes, but we want to pray for Pastor Gil before we leave, and then Tony can lead them in a song or something. And after Tony does a song, then Sandra has, it's root beer float night. So I don't know how many of you knew that, but we have root beer float night. We have Sunday night once in a while to have ice cream Sundays things. And tonight is root beer. It happened to be root beer float night. So enjoy. And we're going to, if you would stand, we're going to pray for Pastor Gil before we go. Father, we just come before you in thanksgiving and praise. And we thank you, Father God, for Pastor Gil, our Spanish pastor. Father God, who's been with us for many years, him and Debbie. And Father God, now he lies on a sick bed. And Father God, we know you as the healer. We read it in your word. We see it. We've seen it in our own lives. And Father God, we just speak a word of healing over him. By your stripes, we are healed. By your stripes, Gil is healed. We praise you, Father God, for the work you do in his life, that you continue to do in his life, and that he is expecting a great miracle tonight, Father God. And Father God, may Pastor Ken and I speak words of life, Father God, words of healing, words of hope to them. Father God, We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the stripes that you took upon your back. And those stripes had the name of Pastor Gil Ramos on them, one of those stripes, and the date and what is going on. Father, we don't even know what to call this situation, what this illness is. But Lord, you know everything, Father God. You number the hairs on his head. You count his steps, Father God. Father, raise him up, resurrect him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.